These last few minutes, these last few moments of Tisha B'Av, Tavshin Pei Aleph, as the sun continues to set on this tragic day, a day in which we've shed so many tears, recited countless kinos, watched endless inspirational movies and clips, and it feels like there's nothing left. Tired, we're hungry, we're thirsty, and we're eager for that fateful moment when the fast will be over, the first sip that we'll take. Don't forget to say Havdalah first. And to be able to put Tisha B'Av in the rearview mirror, to put Tisha B'Av behind us. After all, Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, the 9 days, frankly, are a rude interruption to our summer. We look at the calendar and we figure out our vacation, our children's vacation, our trips, what we'll be able to do, won't be able to do, what activities we can engage, what food we can eat, and finally, Chatzos tomorrow, done, finished. 3 weeks this year in the books, we can go on and enjoy the rest of our summer and get ready for the new year. But my friends, as you can imagine, that is not the attitude that Chazal wanted us to have. That is not the goal of what Tisha B'Av is about. That is not how we're meant to feel right now, and it's not how we're meant to wake up tomorrow morning. It's not where we go from here. Today, last night, if experienced correctly, well, was an intense day. We revisited calamities and tragedies of years ago. We felt the pain and we cried together for the losses and the pain that are and were so recent and continue to be felt. But we can't let it slip away. That intensity of the messages that we heard and the feelings that we felt in Eicha and through the kinos, the idea is not to put a check mark next to them to be finished and to move on, but to carry it with us. And indeed, tomorrow Chatzos represents and reflects a transition. My wife loves to remind me and our children every year that when she was a little girl in camp, over the loudspeaker in camp, they would count down those last 10 seconds until the music would begin to play and they would jump in the pool and the barbecue would be lit. Nobody was doing laundry, but all the other things that you weren't allowed to do, Chatzos, finished and move on. But that's not the attitude we have. The attitude we have was that today we planted seeds that will blossom tomorrow. Today we felt feelings that should generate and should motivate, that should inspire and should transform, that should leave us changed. Because if it doesn't, then we're going to be right back here next year. We're going to be sitting on the floor again. We're going to hear Eicha again. We're going to read Kinos again. We're going to be doing this all again. And if we want something to finally change and finally be different, it's not that something around us will change. What has to change is us. Not for one day and not while we're on the ground, but to change us in a permanent way and to change us forever. Shlomo Rebbe, Nesiv HaShalom, and his Ben HaMetzarim talks about the cycle, the spiritual cycle of the world, that there's destruction and devastation. There's desolation before there's growth, before there's a burst, a blossom, a breakthrough. From the way Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, created the world, there was tohu va-vohu. There was nothingness and chaos and barrenness. And from that disorder emerged a magnificent order that we live and we benefit from until today. He says the same idea, Gara Nazera Shezorim Ba'adama. When you put a seed in the ground, the seed dissolves, the seed disintegrates, the seed dies. And when it dies, it releases what is inside of it. Only once the seed has died and disintegrated and dissolved, only then can what was inside of it come out, take root, grow, and produce a succulent and delicious and sweet fruit. There cannot be a blossoming, a sprouting. There isn't a growth spurt if there's not first a death, a destruction, a dissolving, a disintegration. And this is the theme. These Yimei HaMetzarim were a dark time. But min ha-metzar karasika, from that narrow and dark place, from that valley of tears, from that dwelling on destruction and sadness and loss and pain, can burst forth and sprout the seeds, not only of a national redemption, of a cosmic redemption, but even of small personal steps towards redemption and towards growth. What we endure and what we experience and what we go through enables us to learn about ourselves. We mentioned this morning, galus miloshon giloi legalos, that exile, that experience of being far away makes us want to come close. The feeling of being knocked down makes us want to get up. The feeling of being broken makes us want to be whole. And if all it does is make us want to break our fast and not break our bad midos, and not break the cycle of our habits and our rote that got us into this problem to begin with, and we will be right back here. And next summer we'll have to organize our calendar and our vacation and our schedule and our activities and our meals all over again. But if we want to break it, then we need to take that experience of min ha-metzar, of bein ha-metzarim, of the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and today of Tisha B'Av, and what we discovered and what we learned, to transform us, to believe that we're capable and that we want and that we will be so much more. That sinas chinam last night, the story we told, our Yiddish cup, we're smart enough to know, just be nice to one another. That's all it takes. That's all. It's like you told your children, I want to take you away on this incredible vacation, this incredible program, this incredible trip. I'm going to spoil you with everything you could ever dream, everything you could imagine, everything you could want. The children say, what do we have to do? And you say, just be nice to each other. I say, come on. Straight A's. We have to do the dishes. What do we have to do? Just be nice to one another. That's it. And the Almighty says, just treat each other nicely. Like, that's it. Stop judging. Stop criticizing. Stop fighting. Just treat each other nicely. Your brothers and sisters, your family, act like it. And min ha-metzar, from that place of being in timeout, from a place where a parent stormed out of the house and said, I don't want to be with you anymore. If you can't get along, one can learn to get along more and better than ever. Last week, I had the privilege of being in Wyoming. In Wyoming, there are massive fires that have taken down forest trees that cover mountains. So the guide explained to us that when those fires rage, when those fires break out, they don't put them out. They don't extinguish them. California, they have to extinguish them because they're near residential places, and obviously they pose a great danger to people. But in Yellowstone National Park, Yellowstone the size of Delaware and Rhode Island combined, in Yellowstone National Park, when a fire breaks out, it doesn't pose a danger. And in fact, they let the fire burn. So I asked why. Even if it's not a danger, but why would you want these beautiful trees to be squandered and wasted and burnt to the ground? Why would you let the fire rage? So they explain that Yellowstone has these trees, is filled with trees, lodgepole pines, that have these pine cones with the seeds inside. They fall down, but they don't take root, and they can't grow, they don't blossom, they don't sprout, unless there's intense heat. It's the intense heat that unleashes the seed in the pine cone that allows it to take root and allows it to grow. And if the fires wouldn't rage and the forest wouldn't burn, then the next crop, that next growth, that next burst of sprouting and blossoming, the heat from that fire weren't provided, it would never happen. So the ecological cycle demands the destruction followed by the bursting forth and the blossoming. And I heard that. And I said, the Slonim Rebbe. She said, what? I said, never mind. But I said, the Slonim Rebbe. Min ha-metzar karasika. From churban comes binyan. From destruction comes building and comes growth. And so that's my message as we go into Maariv and end Tisha B'Av this year. is that we're ending Tisha B'Av, but we're not ending having felt that fire, feeling the devastation, the destruction, the fire, but having been through the fire of Tisha B'Av, unleashing that seed inside us to start to get ready. We're going to begin to read this coming Shabbos, the Shiva Dinachem, to the seven Haftorahs of consolation that followed the Gimel de Paranus, of the three that preceded Tisha B'Av. The great Rabbi Cheskel Sarna and his Sefer Dalyus Yecheskel wonders, all the way up to Rosh Hashanah, Shiva Denechemta, seven Haftorahs of consolation, comfort. Do a few of comfort, get out of the Tisha B'Av spirit, have a Shabbos Nacham, a weekend, make some Shidduchim, and move on to the theme of Tshuva. So many of the Haftorahs have to do with growth, Tshuva. Why do we go all the way right up to Rosh Hashanah with Nechama, a little bit of Nechama, and then switch mode? Get into the tshuva mode and come into Rosh Hashanah with the attitude and the mode for tshuva. And he answers his answer. Rav Yeruchim Olshan in Zerach Lamadim quotes it and offers another answer. But I would suggest to you this morning, it's because the connection, the link from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah is a direct line. We don't transition, we don't change, we don't flip a switch, we don't experience a little nechama and put this behind us, and then we get in the mode of tshuva and Rosh Hashanah. What we felt last night and today, what we revisited, the tears we shed, the history we journeyed through, and the desperation we have to not go there again, should plant that seed that will blossom, and that will grow, and that will take us all the way to Rosh Hashanah to do tshuva. The Nechama is the drive, the push, the clarion call to change and to do tshuva. It's not separate. It's exactly the same. Kotzker Rebbe tells a story of a king who banished his son. The prince misbehaved from the palace. The prince didn't relinquish his royalty. The king relinquished the prince's royalty and banished him from the palace as a punishment. You don't deserve, you're not entitled. I'm not proud to call you the prince. So the son wandered around the kingdom, and as every one of these stories goes, that prince on his own soon became a pauper, indigent, impoverished, couldn't make his way. But the father, the king, as disappointed as he was in his son, couldn't stop thinking about him and was so worried about his well-being. So he asked his trusted advisor to go and to find that son and to see how he was doing. And he said, if he shows any indication of wanting to come home, it's good enough. Bring him back with you. So the advisor looks and finds and tracks down the prince, who's now a pauper, approaches him and says, I'm here on behalf of your father. He's worried about you. He wants to know if there's anything you need. The prince thinks for a moment and he says, you know, I'm kind of cold. I could use some warm clothing. And I'm very hungry. I could use a meal. I could use some food. And the advisor gives some money to the prince, who's now a pauper, to provide for himself some warm clothing and some food. He returns to the palace and tells the king. And the king is broken. He's devastated. He says, my foolish son, all he had to do is say he wanted to come home. I would have brought him back to the palace. He would have had everything he wanted. And instead, he was satisfied by asking for a little warm clothing and some food. Says the Kotzker, we open our mouth, we daven to Hashem, give me parnasa, and let this work out, and give me that other thing, but we forget to ask, bring me home. We want Mashiach. Bring us home to the Beis HaMikdash. Let us live in the palace together with you, and we won't have to ask for all the small and all the little and all the petty things. If we ask, can we come home? He's ready to invite us and to bring us. And if we return and come home to the palace, we'll have everything we need. We can't be satisfied. And so my friends, as we put Tisha B'Av behind us, and we begin Maariv together, I beg, and I will work as hard myself as I can, to tonight or tomorrow at Chatzos, not just to go back to normal, back to the way it was, back to who we were before the 3 weeks, grateful we've survived another Bein HaMetzarim. We made it 3 weeks without a haircut and without music and a few days without meat or wine. But to emerge, change, different, transformed, that fire put a heat in us, a passion in us that will release that seed so we can blossom to start the countdown to Erev Rosh Hashanah. That we're no longer satisfied with the little things, as important as they are, but that now we know, and we won't ask anything less from the King than for Him to bring us home.